I want you to turn with the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Next week, our missionaries to the Philippines that we've been working with for 20-some years will be with us next week, so looking forward to that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like just the declarations of the Word of God. Powerful statements of the Word of God. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I want you to look with me in the book of Mark, chapter 5. Start with verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she might be healed, and she will live. Hallelujah. This is one of the rulers of the synagogue. He's part of the group that is trying to figure out how to get rid of Jesus. They have no understanding of who Jesus is. They think he's just another rascal trying to build something around himself. They think he's just somebody promoting himself and trying to build his kingdom. Or maybe he's another rebel against the Roman government trying to cause a rebellion. And they don't know what to do with him because they are bound in the law of Moses, and then they are bound by the 360 some other rules that they had made themselves. Come on, somebody. And so they lived inside of this legalistic, controlling, dogmatic atmosphere where they would literally stone people to death for getting out of the circumference of their rules. I mean, that's a pretty powerful religion when they would stone people to death because they didn't abide by the religious rules. They were constantly at war with humanity, constantly at war with themselves. There was this turmoil all the time, but they were very resistant to Jesus. We see different times where they made plans of how to destroy him, how to get rid of him. But Jairus, one of the leaders in the synagogue, came to this situation where his daughter was dying, and he needed help. Obviously, he loved his daughter. He didn't want her to die. He wanted her to live. Many of us have been in situations like that. And Jairus heard Jesus coming. He had heard all the stories. He had heard all the gossip. He had heard all the condemnation in the synagogue about this Jesus. But all of a sudden he saw Jairus coming, and he fell on his face and begin to cry out to Jesus. I got to tell you something. When you get in a situation where you need help, your religiosity takes a back seat. Your preferences take a back seat. And you start looking for somebody that can help you in your situation. And Jairus begin to say, Jesus, I need help. And then he made a confession of faith. All of a sudden, Jairus became a believer. He said, if you will come and lay your hands on her, because that's what he had heard Jesus did. If you'll come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will live. He had not experienced Jesus. He had only heard about what he did. But he had it in his mind, if you can raise that lame man, if you can heal that blind man, if you can cause that man's right in the face of us, right in the face of our religious boundaries, if you can cause that withered hand to stretch out and become normal when we were telling you you can't heal on the Sabbath day, if you can do that, you can lay your hand on my daughter and she will live. And the Bible says, Jesus said, all right, let's go. That was Snyder commentary. That wasn't in the Bible, but that was in 3 Timothy chapter 5. Jesus went with him because he had declared what was going to happen. That Jesus, come lay your hand on my daughter and she will live. And so he had to press through all of the things in his mind and in his heart that was against Jesus being able to help his daughter. There is a pressing of faith. I want to talk today about the pressing of faith. Faith is not a fairy tale that we imagine and fantasize about. There's far too much fantasizing going on in the body of Christ today and not enough realism. There's not enough. We talk about what we ought to be doing when we need to just start doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever sit in your house and went over all the things you ought to be doing while you're sitting there in that chair? Well, ought to be doing this. Well, ought to be doing that. There's times in the morning, me and Sister Betty get up before daylight and we'll be sitting there drinking coffee and just trying to kind of sitting there meditating and waking up, and sun will start coming up, and about the time the sun starts coming up, I start saying, well, I need to get going. About 30 minutes later, I'll say, well, I need to get going. And there finally comes a time where I have to say, well, that's it, I'm up. And I have to get after it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We as the body of Christ, we need to stop fantasizing about where we could be and what we could be doing, and we need to stop scolding each other about not doing it. And we need to just start walking in faith and doing it. Amen. Sometimes you just gotta step forward. Put yourself out there. Amen. You feel suspicious. You know, you feel like, do y'all feel awkward sometimes when you step out on faith? Sometimes there can be you can feel a little awkward about it. You know why? Because we're always thinking about us. What do I look like? What's going to happen? What's people going to think? What are people doing looking at me? You know, what are they thinking? And all of a sudden, our mind is completely on us. Amen. You know what happens when we do that? We go into a vacuum. We start pulling instead of flowing. Amen. Praise God. When your mind goes to you, you start pulling this way. But when your mind is on faith, when your mind is on Jesus, when you just step forward and your mind's on him, there is a flow that happens and takes place because you are simply a vessel and it's not about you. I know we like to say that. I hear people all the time. Some of the people that care the most about what people think are always saying, I don't care what people think. And yet they're always saying, I don't care what people think, because they are very concerned about what people think. So they have to constantly say, I don't care what people think. If you don't care what people think, you don't have to say you don't care what people think. Amen. I just throw a little psychedelology on you there. This man had to press through himself. He had to press past his beliefs. He had to press past the things he had heard. He had to press past what the other leaders of the synagogue were going to think when they saw him kneeling down before Jesus. He had to press past what they were going to think when he took Jesus to his house. But at this point, his need outweighed what he felt, wondered what he was afraid of. Amen. When your purpose is greater than your fear, your purpose will conquer your fear. So he pressed through. He pushed past, and Jesus went with him. And there was a great crowd that followed him. Now in the same chapter, in verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Boys, there are a lot of stories like that today. And when she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? I want you to see the power of pressing faith. Jesus had no idea that he was about to heal somebody. He didn't even know this lady is around. The one that knew the thoughts of everybody's heart. The one that knew when the disciples were arguing over who is greatest in the kingdom of God behind him, all of a sudden got caught off guard because this little lady come behind him in the crowd and she said, if I can just touch his clothes, just the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And she snuck up behind Jesus, pushed through the crowd, and reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she pulled healing power out of him. Jesus didn't willingly heal this lady. Her faith. Later, in this it says, go your way, you'll be made well. In Matthew, I think it's chapter 9, verse 22. I might be wrong. I think it's 9:22. It says, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Hallelujah. Oh, I like this. I like it because there was miracles. There was miracles walking down a street, and a lady that needed a healing. She had went through so much with doctors. I don't know if you've ever had to go to a doctor very much and had to deal with a lot of this stuff. You know that they put you through some stuff that you'd rather not go through. And they take all your money. And and then act like it's your reasonable duty and service to pay them. I had an old doctor one time out in Oklahoma. I'd had a motorcycle wreck, and I was tore up from head to toe. I mean, there wasn't a place in my body didn't have cuts and scrapes, and I had to dig the rocks and gravel out of my arms and out of my legs, and I was tore up, and I finally got all the rocks dug out of me, and you know, put rubbing alcohol all over me. That's a whole different story. As I decided that I needed to keep this from getting infected, because I was cut all to pieces. I mean, it tore my shirt off. It tore me up. And I was cut all to pieces, just had road rash and stuff. And so I put alcohol in a spray bottle because I said, I got to. And so I just soaked myself completely in alcohol. And at first I thought, well, that just feels wet. That ain't even burning. And then all of a sudden somebody snuck up and struck a match to me. And suddenly I was full of life. Next morning I woke up and I was swelled up. Every cut on me was swelled up and hot. And I thought, oh man, you know, I better go to the doctor. Betty was in California with her family. She wasn't even there. She never knew what she's going to come home to. She doesn't even get shook up anymore. It's just like, oh, okay. I'm not going to tell my favorite story on her because she'll get upset at me. But I went to see this old country doctor. I walked in, and man, I mean, I was sore. I needed to get to work, but I was cut all to pieces. I was working for Halliburton Oil Well Servicing, and I was sore. I went in to see this old country doctor, one of those kind you just walk in, you know, and little old tiny office, and he said, what happened to you? I said, well, I had a motorcycle wreck. He said, get up there on the table. So I got up there and sat down. He said, you had a tetanus shot? I said, I don't even know if I've had a tetanus shot. I have no idea. And so he goes over and he's fixing this shot. And I could tell he had an attitude. I didn't know what the attitude was about. And he got this needle and syringe ready. And I'm sitting there on the table. And he walks by me and he goes, poof, like that. And just stabs me in the arm with that needle. And then just leaves it hanging in my arm. I'm going, hey, what are you doing? He didn't say a word. He just walked on over, did something else. You ever had a tetanus shot? It's like wax. It's like shoving wax in your body. He come back over, without saying a word, come back over there, grabbed that syringe and went, wasn't slow, and immediately I had this knot in my arm, and I said, what are you doing? He said, anybody stupid enough to ride a motorcycle, that shouldn't hurt you. And then I said, I guess you want me to pay you for that. He said, absolutely. They can put you through some stuff. I can't even imagine what this lady went through. They tried all kinds of tricks, all kinds of remedies, all kinds of medicines. No telling what their things that they come up with. No telling what other problems they caused. You know, it's kind of like anymore. Every pill they gave you is engineered to make you need another pill. Oh, come on. Come on. Yeah. Come on now. Some of y'all in the medical field, don't get upset at me here. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. We are customers. Amen. I'm not even going to get in that. My muscles and tendons are just now getting over the problems that all the antibiotics they gave me 5 months ago caused. I'm just now getting where I can function good. Amen. Can you imagine for 12 years, this lady had gone through one treatment after another, and they had taken all of her money. She was broke and none the better. But one day she heard that this man named Jesus was coming to her town and coming down a certain street. And in her weak condition, she said, I need to get there. And again, I want to reiterate that the Son of God, who seemed to know everything about everybody, did not know that this little lady was sneaking up on him. But she got close enough. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, that means she had to be on her knees. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and suddenly Jesus said, who touched me? I felt power go out of my body. Hallelujah. This little lady, she tries to hide herself in the crowd. And the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? They're pushing on us and shoving on us. Ever can you imagine how many people was touching Jesus and got nothing? They were thronging him. They was all around him. The disciples said, what do you mean? They're pushing on us from every side. What do you mean who touched you? He said, I felt power go out of me. Somebody just got a miracle. And he wanted to know who it was. This little lady finally stepped forward and told everything. See, it was against the law back then for a woman to touch a man like that. But she snuck up on him. That's why she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, because it would have been against the law for her to grab hold of him. But she touched the hem of his garment. There are a lot of people say that she touched. He had a prayer shawl on. And some rabbinical writings say that she touched the tassel on that prayer shawl. And she was made well. There is a faith that has to press. Faith isn't always easy. Amen. Faith isn't always easy. You know, if we're not careful when we preach faith, we preach it as some kind of magic wand that we wave and everything happens and you get everything you want. I got to tell you something. Sometimes faith will make you crawl through the mud. Sometimes faith will make you push forward. Sometimes faith will make you climb over obstacles that you don't think you can climb over. But faith keeps driving you and pushing you. And there is a pressing of faith that causes us to push through. This old lady was healed after 12 years of suffering, after 12 years of one hope after another being crushed. All of a sudden, she come in contact with the reality of the truth of God. She come in contact with the power of grace. And immediately, healing flooded into her body, and she was made whole. Hallelujah. I've had instantaneous miracles before. It's amazing. And then I've had other miracles that I've had to press and push and push and press and then press and push some more. And I've had to crawl, I've had to climb, I've had to do all kinds of stuff to keep going until I finally got the breakthrough. There's been some things that God has answered immediately, and there's been other things I've had to fight through for 2, 3, sometimes 5 years in order to see the answer come through. You say, why has that happened? I don't know, but I like what Bill Johnson says. If you stop embracing the mystery of God, you'll be disappointed all your life. You can't get this thing down in black and white, and this is how you do it. I mean, this is not some kind of potion you work up. This isn't bippity-boppity-doo. Sometimes you have to press through that which is trying to stop you from being able to get to God, from being able to get your miracle, being able to get your healing. While she was being healed, the young girl, the synagogue ruler's daughter, died. While Jesus was trying to find out who it was that pulled a miracle out of his being, the synagogue leader's daughter died. And people come and to the synagogue leader and said, "Don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter is dead." I like what Jesus' answer, because the man had already said, "If you come and lay your hand on my daughter, she will live." And in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Now I want you to stop and just picture this in your mind. They are weeping. They are wailing. The child is laying there lifeless. She is dead. And they are mourning the death of this child. And Jesus walks in with this synagogue leader who doesn't know what to think, because he came to Jesus for help and now his daughter's dead. And then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, only believe." But his daughter's already dead. Remember what I preached last Sunday? There is natural truth. But then there is a grace that lets us penetrate into the very world of God, and we come into another truth that supersedes the truth of our natural. He's just walking along following Jesus. He don't know what to think. He don't know what to do. Jesus put everybody out except Peter, James, and John, the father and the mother. And then Jesus walks over and touches the daughter, takes her by the hand, and says, "Arise." This leader of the synagogue had to press through his religious beliefs. He had to press through his the pride of his heart and what others were going to think about him going to Jesus. He had to press through. He had to wait. His daughter was dying. He had to wait while Jesus ministered to a lady that snuck in, wasn't even on the program. She snuck in. And then all of a sudden heard, "Your daughter's dead." I imagine if he had been like us, he probably thought, "Well, if this lady hadn't interrupted us, Jesus would have got to my daughter on time." Amen. Oh, we have to press through so many things to receive from God. We have to press through the thoughts of our mind. We have to press through spiritual oppression. We have to press through our bodies. We have to press through our feelings. And press into the very presence of God. And Jesus just reached down, grabbed the girl's hand, and said, "Arise." And the little girl got up. And what was it Jesus said next? He said, "Hey, she hasn't eaten in a while. Give her, you need to get her something to eat." I mean, not only did he raise her from the dead, he was concerned about her natural needs. He said, she needs something to eat. Go get her something to eat. Hallelujah. Oh, that pressing faith is so valuable. The understanding of how to keep going whenever everything says there's no use. It's the devil's favorite hobby of trying to convince you that there's no use. It's not working. God's not listening. It's not going to happen. You're not worthy. All these lies begin to flood into your mind. Jesus doesn't want to heal you. Jesus doesn't want to save your children. I mean, these lies begin to come into your mind, and it's our duty as children of God to sit ourselves and say, "I will press into the presence of God regardless." Did you know sometimes you need to stop trying to get something and just receive? I want to see some people like this little lady that just snuck up and grabbed her miracle. Amen. Do you realize how many times in the New Testament, Damon talked about this last Tuesday night, how many times in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that they laid people in the street just so that the shadow of Peter crossing over them, they would be healed, and it says they were all healed. And other times they would lay them in the street just so that they could reach out and touch their clothes, and it says they were all healed. You understand what I'm talking about? They had a reality. Now, we are kind of at a disadvantage today because everything we do is by faith. We believe in Him who we have not seen. See, Jesus, we're not getting reports that, hey, Jesus is getting ready to go down Campbell Street in Springfield. And we jump in our cars and run, and we find a parking place somewhere in Nixa or Ozark, and we make our way to Glenstone Avenue, thousands of other people there, and we start trying to press through and position ourselves to be able to touch Jesus. That's what it was like in the Bible days. Matter of fact, there was a time where they had such trouble getting to Jesus that they tore the roof off of the house. Can you imagine if this place was so packed out and God was working so much, all of a sudden we hear a chainsaw and somebody's cutting a hole in the roof? And suddenly a stretcher starts coming down through the roof. Brother Vernon be freaking out. Next thing you know, there's a guy laying on a stretcher right by Jesus. And Jesus looked up through that hole. He saw four men that had a pressing faith. And because of their faith, He looked down at that man and said, "You're healed." And he got up and carried his bed home. And then he had to press through all the persecution because, number one, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And then all the synagogue leaders, the Pharisees, you can't forgive. Who's this guy to forgive sin? We're going to stone you. We're going to kill you. How dare you say you can forgive sins? And Jesus said, well, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or that you're healed? He said, I said that so that you wouldn't make a distinction between the two. Then the guy got up and carried his bed out, and then he got in trouble for that. It was hard getting a miracle. It was hard getting healing in that day. Amen. Didn't matter what you did, it was wrong. Today, Holy Spirit has taken Jesus and multiplied him many times over. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. Hallelujah. I've heard people say this, I just don't know how to get there. I thought that myself. And I was praying about it here a while back. I was in my prayer room. And I said, God, what do we need to do to see the manifestation of your presence? And Holy Spirit spoke so clear to me. He said, would you quit trying to produce me? Stop trying to produce me and let me be who I am and do what I do. Stop trying to produce, because we're always thinking, what do we need to do to get this to happen? What do we need to do to get this to happen? And Holy Spirit saying, would you please just let me do this? Amen. Hallelujah. I felt it. Immediately all of us start saying, thinking that. What do we need to do? Well, how can I do that? I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Well, you don't, of course you don't know how to do that, because Holy Spirit does it. We are just simply the vessels. Hallelujah. And I want to see this church body have to deal with people running behind you and grabbing your pant leg in Walmart or wherever you go. Please don't wear your pajamas. Wherever you go to shop, wherever you're at in place, does somebody come up and just touch you? Wouldn't that freak you out? Amen. That freaked me out. Praise God. Holy Spirit, help us not to punch anybody. Amen. Oh, what? Some of us lay hands on people, but it wouldn't quite be what they was expecting. Amen. I refuse to preach an easy doctrine. I refuse to preach an easy road. Amen. I do not want a church living in a fantasy. I want a church that knows how to press through, power through, and get what God said we could have. Amen. We don't make excuses. I don't want to come in here and live some kind of fantasy on Sunday morning and then we not have anything on Monday morning. I want to see us walk into the power and the glory of God all the time, because He has anointed us. Hallelujah. We are the anointed of the Lord. There are people waiting for you to pass by. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, every time I say something like that, I feel that unworthiness. Well, you know, I couldn't do that. I could. Yes, you. Amen. All you have to do is yield and get in His presence. Amen. Get in His presence. in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. The other night, I think it's Thursday night, there was a young lady come up, had a boot on. And, yeah, I believe it, buddy. Amen. This lady had a boot on, and she had fractured her ankle. And she come up, and Sister Terry prayed for her. And the next night she showed up, she didn't have the boot on. And according to her, you know, our phones can track us now, how many steps we take and all that kind of stuff. According to her phone, she had walked 7,000 steps the next day without that boot on and had no pain whatsoever. She was completely healed. Wow. Just easy. It was easy. But somebody had to press through. Amen. We've got situations in this church that we need to press through to the presence of God. We need to know His presence. We need to hear His word. And then we need to just accept it. Stop trying to figure this thing out. Amen. And just let God be God. Well, I keep hearing this song come up in my heart. Have you prayed and prayed? And still you have no answer. Has your faith grown weak? You feel you're all alone. Don't give up. The God you serve won't leave you. There's a miracle in the making for you. Today, there's a miracle in the making, one just for you. The Father is working even now. Do you hear that? Do you hear the words? Stand with me today if you would. There's a miracle in the making for you right now. Praise God, because we're a people that don't give up. We're a people that don't quit. We don't sit down because it gets rough, because it gets hard. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You can't stop until something happens. Praise God. Just because you might be suffering your body doesn't mean you stop praying for other people. Just because you're having some struggles don't mean you just quit everything and wait until it turns around. You keep pressing. You keep preaching. You keep praying. You keep doing what you know to do. And you see the presence and power of God. There are struggles all around us. Battles taking place. We know. I had a pastor tell me the other day, I thought it was funny. He said, well, I knew you was coming to prayer meeting today. I said, how you know that? He said, because this morning all of a sudden there's this battle starts stirring. He said, every time you're coming, there's this battle starts stirring. And he said, I told my wife this morning, well, Pastor Snyder's coming to prayer meeting this morning. Say, what is that? It's the fact that when you move, you're moving everything around you. There's demonic powers trying to force you to stop, trying to get you to give up, trying to get you to put down, trying to get you to ask more questions than you got answers for. There's all kinds of things happening, but you just start pushing through that thing. You ever seen a dust storm when that pressure's moving? We've seen them on riding our Harleys out west. You look up and all of a sudden this wall of dirt and brush and trash and all kinds of stuff is heading across the desert right at you. Why? Because there's a disturbance and there's a pressure behind it. When you move, there are disturbances that begin to happen because you're pushing things out of the way. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to just stand here and give you testimony after testimony after testimony, but I believe we need to apply our faith right now. I believe we need to press through. Because we've got to learn to do this. You know, this morning we come in here and it seemed like there was just a struggle and a battle in the service. And we were struggling. But then all of a sudden, Brother Casey decided to fight. There was a fight rose up inside. He started fighting with the Word of God. And next thing you know, there's a freedom that started coming in this place. Why? Because there is a faith that says, no, we're going to press through. Hallelujah. And there's things we need to press through about right now. Thank you, Lord. There's a miracle in the making for you. God's working right now. He's stirring things up for you right now. Father, Lord, we choose to see the angels. We choose, Lord God, to walk in your spirit, not in the oppression of the enemy. Father, we resist disappointments. We will not give them lordship in our life. I do not worship disappointment. I do not worship the things of the enemy. I worship Jesus. And Lord, I worship you today. Hallelujah. I worship you today. Glory. Hallelujah. If you've been feeling this struggle, this oppression lately, I want you to say something with me. Just say, Father God, I choose you. I choose your word. I choose Holy Spirit. I reject oppression. I reject the forces of the enemy. I cast down the lies of the devil. And I step up into your presence, into your truth, and I take my stand. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There is a glory and a presence when you press through. God will reward you. Sometimes, yeah, I've told different times about times that we've been in other countries preaching and they've sent word to us that if you preach Jesus tonight as a Savior, we're going to kill you in public. What do? You take your text on salvation in Jesus Christ and you preach Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one time the leaders of that country, the leaders of the ministry begged me and said, please, just preach on healing or something. Don't preach this. There's no need in causing problems. No need in you being hurt. You're just going to be a short time. There's no need in you being hurt. I got up that night knowing that the people that want to kill us was out there in the crowd and they'd already said, we'll kill you in public. I got up and I began to preach Jesus as the only way of salvation. And when I started preaching that, the ones that had tried to talk me out of it, you saw the fire come in their eyes and they started interpreting with me and we preached Jesus that night and there was a cloud, there was just a glory of God that settled over that big meeting, thousands of people. And we gave the altar call and people started coming right in the face. I just talked to a man that I've been talking to in Pakistan. And they were getting ready to have a large meeting in Pakistan, a large gospel meeting. 80,000 people showed up at this meeting in Pakistan. And I asked him, I said, how'd things go? He said, they tried to arrest us, they tried to stop us, they tried everything to shut it down. But he said, God won. God won. He said there was healings and miracles took place all through the crowd. There was people got saved. Hallelujah. We've got to learn to walk like that with God right here in America. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you've been pressing against something that seems like it's just not giving, seems like you're just not getting anywhere with it, get out of your seat and come up here. We're going to push with you. We're going to push with you. I believe God's got some answers coming. I believe God's got some miracles coming. There's an answer for you. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Hallelujah. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Hallelujah. We are going to ask God. Some of y'all need to sneak up on Jesus today and just grab that miracle out of him. Amen. He is willing. He is willing. Hallelujah. Do not be weary in well-doing. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy Lord, you're worthy.